Hello, everyone. This is Chris McLaughlin from Stones Crossing Church, and this is the D Group Leader Podcast. I'm here again with Pastor Mitch Green. How's it going today?
Doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get rolling with our discussion, we're gonna conclude today our discussion on how to lead a discussion in your D Group. But before we get there, I just want to let you know about the D Group Leader Workshop. The D Group Leader Workshop is something that we did last fall, and we had about 15 D Group leaders go through this workshop, and it was really great. It was a really good discussion. It's a 10-week workshop where you actually get a chance to learn some practical tools on how to lead your D group and have a really great discussion with your D group. We're going to launch another one of these this fall. It's going to start on September 8th. It's going to be Sundays during the second service, and it'll run for 10 weeks. And so if you want to be a part of that, you can register for that. You should see the link to that in the emails that you get each week. So go ahead and click that link, register for the workshop, and I would love to have every single D group leader go through this workshop at some point. It's just really, really powerful, really helpful for all of us. So anyway, just want to let you know about that. Today we're going to be continuing our discussion on how we can lead our discussion with our D groups. And we have two more practical things that we really want to get into. The first actually has a lot of different subpoints and a lot of different things that we can, different tools that we can try. And this is keeping the discussion going. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, Mitch, but I've had discussions, D group discussions, where it just seems to die off. It's like, okay, where is everybody tonight? Mm-hmm. And you know, for me, when it dies down, I just kind of get into sermon mode. You know, yes. I'm like, I just want to fill the space, get them to the right answer, and move on. So I'm tempted to do that, and that's not what our group should be doing.
Oh yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mentioned how my wife is. Began to help me process how I lead groups.
Oh,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But for me, that's one of those things where, she'll just tell me, she'll like, hey, and I have a tendency to not let things sit long enough.
Totally.
And she'll tell me, she'll be like, Mitch, you literally gave them like 7 seconds to answer that. And I'm like, well, it felt like an eternity.
Yeah.
And
so how important is it to actually leave some space in there for people? Like, do people need that, do you think?
I think they absolutely do.
Yeah.
The problem is, and this is probably, you can consider this for yourself if you're a leader out there, I don't think that way. Mm. I have a thought on everything. I'm a verbal processor. The moment you ask me a question, I'm thinking through what I'm thinking about,
yeah.
what my answer is.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like I've never had a setting in my life where I need, ample time to process it.
Sure.
But there are people out there who are different than me. And I think one of the worst things you can do if you're somebody like me is just keep jumping over their ability to speak and give an answer,
right.
and never give them the space to communicate what they're trying to do.
Yeah, some of the best discussions
yeah.
that we've had in my group have been when I've left some space and then someone who maybe hasn't spoken up
mm-hmm.
in a while says something or asks a question, and then that just kind of sparks this, oh, yeah.
Because I'll often have people, often it can be husbands in the group saying they'll be driving home and their wife will be like, hey, here's 4 or 5 things that I was thinking about that I wish I would have said. And
sure.
I'm like, well, I wish I would have given more space for that.
Sure.
So I think you're limiting some good discussion and some good thoughts when you're just trying to jump over and make sure
yeah.
there's not enough time for anybody to breathe.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. What about asking questions? You mentioned this 2 weeks ago when we did the first session of this, and actually he talks about this in the book as well in growth groups, but he talks about the idea of, don't tell them what they can work out for themselves, but ask questions. We when we give the answers, it relieves all the tension. They're like, oh, the D group leader said that was the answer. So,
yeah.
so we're not going to answer. But keeping some tension in the discussion helps people to want to know the answers and dig for them themselves. So there's types of questions that we can ask.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things you mentioned a couple weeks ago, but what are some of the questions that you've used to help people to keep the discussion going?
Yeah. I mean, again, the first one, which I mentioned, I think two times ago, is just, encouraging people in discussion, if someone says something
yeah.
and that's maybe thought provoking, not just following up their answer, but encouraging the rest of the group to say, hey, what do you guys think about that? What
yeah.
do you think about what she said here?
Yeah.
How does that How do you respond to that? How does that hit you? How do you process that?
I think that one is really, really important, especially when someone gets the right answer.
Yes.
Sometimes getting the right, when someone gets the right answer right away is harder than if they have the wrong answer, because if they get the right answer and you say, yep, that's the right answer, then all of a sudden all the tension in the discussion is relieved and no one wants to engage with it anymore. But if you don't give it away, don't say, okay, that's great, that's the right answer, but you direct it to someone else, you can say, okay, so, Jake, he got the right answer. So Mary, what do you think? What do you think about that?
Yeah.
And that way they're not sure if it's the right answer or not, but they get a chance to engage with that right answer.
Yeah. And one of the other things I think is really important is, to get your leaders thinking about the leaders, the people in the group, after you kind of maybe get that first response out there and say it is the right answer and there's really nowhere to go. The next step is, okay, how does this right answer affect our lives?
Oh, yeah.
And following up with, okay, there's the answer. There's what the text says. This is what it communicates. But how does that affect our lives?
Yeah, that change your worldview or what's your application?
Yes, exactly. Like we were talking about, not all your answers are going to be clean cut, here's this application.
Mm-hmm.
But they may be something that's going to radically change the way that you view the world. You know, your lens through Christ and your lens through that passage may radically change the way you're doing something. And so the next step is to help people process, how does this affect the way they live their lives?
That's awesome.
Now the process of discernment, and I'm very hijacky this time, so I'll try not to be, is not going to be as clear cut for everyone.
Yeah.
So you may just be helping them start to process that. They may be something where it's a conversation about money or finance or something, and they may say, we got to start to process how we handle our funds.
Yeah.
They may have something very practical.
Yeah.
They may just be, and so I think it's helping people take those right answer questions and turn them into, but how does this affect us? If we have right answers that we're not doing anything with, what's the point in having a right answer now?
Totally. Yeah. In the book, he mentions four different types of questions that you can ask. There are extending questions. So you can ask someone, what can you add to that? Or could you explain more fully? There's clarifying questions. What do you mean by that? Or can you rephrase that? Justifying questions. So why do you think that's true? Or can you explain, this would be a tough one. Can you explain what you just said from the passage? Which would be getting them back into scripture. Really good question.
Good.
And then redirecting just what we were talking about. What do others think? What does someone else in the room think? And I love that one. That's so good. Well, one of the big things is we want to make sure that we're always coming back to scripture. Again, in the first week that we talked about this stuff, we talked about the idea that the group is not going to be the judge of what scripture is saying. Like we're not, our job is not to decide whether or not scripture is right. Our job is to actually be conformed to what scripture is saying.
What does it say?
Yeah. So one of the things that we can do to help to encourage discussion is to point people back to scripture using questions. We can ask questions about the text that we're working through, asking them that idea of like, well, can you show what you're saying from the text or from maybe another text, or pose that question to the group? You might have something too where the Lord may, and again, we don't want to discount the work of the Holy Spirit. I think within our group, because honestly, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that the Spirit is working in our groups each week. One of the things that I know that the Spirit does with me sometimes is bring some passages to mind, some other passages. Mm-hmm. So sometimes what I'll do is, and maybe this has happened to you too, but like I'll say, well, maybe we should go to this passage, and then we'll go to that passage, and I'll ask the same question of that passage, or how do these two passages work together to give us an idea or an answer to our question? Maybe can you speak to that a little bit? Like, have you had stuff like that happen? Sorry, this is like off the cuff.
I would say absolutely. Again, I think in the learning and the interpretation process, like we can't forget about praying as we're leading our study, and we can't overthink about the Holy Spirit's working and helping us interpret the passage and working and just even making it clear for us.
We need the Spirit.
We're not studying, you know, Beowulf or some other book. So it's not just like getting the clear answers or just the commentary. There's an aspect of prayer and preparation that goes into our study. And so I think that's the important thing of being an ongoing learner. That's where I recognize it more for me, personally, especially now that as I've engaged with seminary, is often, you know, I'd be reading through the Old Testament, mm-hmm. and then I'll be teaching through Galatians, and there's something about the law and the way that they're discussing it that I've gained farther clarity that's brought to the forefront of my mind that says, okay, hey, let's go back and look at this passage here that they're addressing, you mm-hmm. know, in Galatians, and let's make it more clear. Now, often I didn't write that down. I didn't think about it. And so you've got to be willing to even just kind of approach it with an open, hand to the Word.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. Well, the last thing we want to talk about here is closing the discussion, and this should be really simple. You know, through our whole conversation, Mitch, we've been talking about this idea of kind of having some tension, and keeping that tension so that the discussion doesn't die down. As soon as you relieve the tension, if, you know, hey, the D group leader gave the answer or said this is the answer, then all of a sudden no one has to engage anymore and that tension is gone. But when we get to the end of the discussion, we actually kind of do want to relieve that tension because people kind of want some closure, you know, and want to know, like, okay, what did we really learn today? So a couple tips for this. Number one, make sure that you're reinforcing the main point of the passage. Go back to your text. Reinforce the main point of what you guys have been studying, and highlight the application that you've arrived at from the passage as well. Include the truths and the applications in your prayer time even. But the thing about this is that don't use the your prep, all your notes, and just summarize your notes. Because one of the things that can happen is it's like your notes are kind of like the roadmap, and it's like you're going from here to, let's say you're going from, I don't know, from here to Lafayette or something like that. That's the map. But you only make it to 465, okay?
Yeah.
So you may only want to summarize then where you've gone as a group. And that's okay, as long as you're going in the right direction. You know what I mean? So by doing that, you're relieving the tension, you're putting a little bow on the discussion and helping people to remember, oh, okay, that's what this was all about. And I think that's really important to do at the end. So,
well, and I think, you know, just to add one thing to that, I think in your, you know, I've never really been a part of a group where you don't end with some sort of prayer time.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I think that's pretty standard, you know, and in that time, I think there's a tendency to just veer straight into the prayer time and leave the discussion hanging, you know, and so you're just kind of like, well, but it's 9 o'clock. So does anybody have any prayer requests? You know, and you just jump, you know, or is anything we could pray for? I think it's important to take the discussion that you just had and apply it to the prayer time, as you were saying.
Absolutely.
So even in that transition, just saying, you know, whatever we were talking about, it's bringing that back up in a way to say, you know, hey, how can we pray for more of this in our lives?
Yeah.
How can we pray that we make this more clear? Is there any way that this can apply? And, you know, and then also encouraging, you know, what are the things that we can be praying for? Again, the prayer time is so essential that I've heard you talk about this, and I think it's really important that time doesn't just become like our, let's air out all of our grievances.
Yes.
You know, it should be attached to the Word of God and what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to make sure those two times are seen as one, not two separate blocks.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think it's really exciting when our group, when the prayer time in our group becomes about the work that we're doing, the mission that we're doing, rather than just all the junk that's going on in our lives. And that stuff, you know, that stuff's important. We want to be praying for each other and helping each other through that stuff in groups. But man, I just think it's so much more exciting when we're saying, hey, you know, asking the question, hey, this was the application for tonight. How can I pray for each one of you in this?
And follow up with it. That's my last, you know, the last thing that I think I would encourage D group leaders, just I've been thinking through these three different discussions you're listening to, is like, when you're leading a D group, you're more than just leading a discussion. That's you know, that's important, and those are the things where that's the one time you're getting everybody focusing on what they're doing. But it's your responsibility to kind of follow up with the individuals in your group. That's my biggest growth of the past year is understanding myself as a discipler of these individuals and taking ownership of that.
Yeah.
Versus like in the past where it was like, I'm just leading a group once a week. And so I think a lot of, again, that helps you realize that some of those concerns and those things, yes, they need to be addressed, and you can help people process those things, but that's something you can do, you know, throughout the week. You can do that after study. You can, like, that's the responsibility that we walk into, but it's also like, that's where the blessing is when you understand, like, it's more than just trying to get a discussion across. You're truly trying to lead these people towards Christ.
Absolutely.
And that's a Monday through Sunday thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Mitch, thanks so much for being with us these last 3 weeks and talking with all this stuff. And I'm excited about where we're going next. We're going to actually have another D Group leader that's going to be joining us next week on the D Group Leader podcast. So we hope that you'll join us then.